God is good.
And all the time.
God is good. I hope you believe that. I certainly say it every service, every chance I get, every opportunity. I appreciate Pastor Boone calling again. If he calls me one more week, he's out, I'm in, okay? I guess he's hearing that at home too, but he couldn't find anybody cheap, so he called me. But I appreciate the opportunity. When my wife passed away, went on to be with the Lord, she died on Thursday the 24th, and through Sunday, I had determined in my heart, without asking God, that I was done. I didn't have my partner, and I didn't want to go on anymore. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do nothing. I just want to be left alone. And God dealt with my heart, and I will preach next Sunday and the following Sunday in my home church, Clearbrook. That will be 5 Sundays straight that I've had a chance to preach. So God says, you may want to quit, but I'm not done with you yet. So I do thank the Lord for that, for every opportunity. I have said this, I think, in years past. I want to say it to encourage your heart. I don't want you coming up and patting me on the back. But every penny every church gives me, I take out my tithe. I take out the money it takes for me for gas. The rest of it I set aside. And as God speaks to my heart, I give it to the needy. Now, don't line up telling me you have a need after church. But I've got almost $1,000, so the Lord must be planning something. Somebody has a need somewhere, and that's what I want. Nan and I promised the Lord that when we were finished and he was finished with us, our house would be sold. All the proceeds will go to foreign missions. At Clearbrook, it won't be given out all at one time, but to pad it, so to speak. All the junk that I got left belongs to my daughter. She can do whatever she wants to do with that. But God is good, and he's good all the time, and he's good to me, and I thank God for it. I have a riddle for you. I had a daddy, but I didn't have a daddy till I was 25. Who was he? Nope. I had a daddy, but I didn't have a daddy till I was 25. Who was he? Nope. You people can't be that slow. I had a daddy, but I didn't get him till I was 25. Nope. He was my stepdad. My real father left my mother when I was 4 years old. My mother had 5 boys by the time she was 20. Of course, she had a set of twins in there as well. And then he left because of alcohol. We used the polite name alcoholic, but my dad was a drunk. Supposedly got saved very late in life, just before he died. Then my mom remarried the man that I called dad, and I had just left for Liberty. And at that time in 75, Liberty was just a bunch of houses downtown around Thomas Road Baptist Church. That's where we went to class in various houses. But he turned out to be a godly man, a man that loved my mother. My mother loved him. They had 25 years together. But it's interesting, the brother said, if you've never had a daddy, see him, because he wants an explanation how you got here. And so you need to think about that and consider it. But pray for the pastor. I tease him and joke with him all the time. But here at Valley, faith missionary, Brother Mike Best, Jeff Gardner over at Lamplight, on down the line I could go. I've met a multitude of friends. I remember when you were over here and crammed in that little building and people didn't want to sit behind the pole because they couldn't see the preacher. And then you built this. And how God, somebody say amen, how good God has been to you. You may not have as many as you used to have, but you don't have any less. Yeah, you think about that and it'll come to you after a while. But you need to keep working for the Lord. Let me get you in Numbers chapter 17 this morning. Numbers 17, last week I gave you Job chapter 14 and verse 5 where God says our life is set by boundaries. You may die right out of the womb. You may die when you're 50. You may pass away in your teen years. But God says that there's boundaries in our months and we cannot go past it. Now, the last thing I said last week is how close do you think you are? People don't think about dying until they die. It's too late then, or when they're getting ready to die, I should say. So this morning after prayer and after Pastor called me Friday and asked me to fill in again, this is the message that God gave. It's in chapter 17 of the book of Numbers. Have you got that? Because it's important that you see this, verses 1 through 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, that's God, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Moses spake unto the children of Israel, every one of their princes, gave him a rod apiece for each prince, one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness, and it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of the witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, brought forth buds, bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for this day. We are grateful, Lord, for men who lead their families in the godly manner that they should. They stand, Lord, as husbands and fathers. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless each dad that's here today. I pray, God, that you will bless the reading of your word. And Lord, that you will use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This message mostly is to you that are saved, but I entitled it, Bloom Where You Planted, Don't Murmur Where You Are. Bloom where you planted, don't murmur where you are. When something blooms, according to Scripture, it's at the peak of life, whether it be a plant or an individual. Now, I work with roses. I plant roses at my house. I go out and prune them. I spray them. I do all kinds of things. When I was living in Franklin County, people would actually drive to the parsonage, which was next to the church, just to view the roses. And they say, my, you grow pretty roses. No, I plant them. God does the growing. And I think we have to look at that in our Christian life, that here's something that you need to consider. See if you can figure this out. Every time you're praising God, you're not murmuring. You're not complaining. Every time you're complaining, you're not praising God. Who's getting the most? Are you a complainer? Now, I know none of you are. Probably the people that are not here are complainers, but you folks are not complainers. You don't murmur. You don't fuss at the pastor. I thought he would never shut up. Now I got to go home and hurry through lunch and come back tonight. Did he preach on money again? Doesn't he ever get tired of that? Who turned down the air conditioner? I mean, it's blistering cold in here. I got to have my fur jacket just to walk into. We complain about everything. Now, the only legitimate thing that we should complain about is the IRS. Yeah. They always get a little bit more than they should. But are you blooming where God has placed you? I get excited when people blossom in the things of God. Next week, as I preach at Valley, as I preach at Clearbrook, next week I got some friends coming from Franklin County. And they are not bringing their moonshine, they're coming by themselves. But it's two individuals. The lady was sitting against the back wall in 1982 with her oldest daughter, as far back as she could get. We were in a little storefront building when the invitation was given. This lady and her mother, bawling their eyes out, came down and got saved. She went home. Now, you're talking about a soul winner. She went home And she told her husband, she said, honey, you know you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Well, the husband backed up. He didn't know what was going on. So he comes the next Sunday and brings his only child, a boy, 14 years old. Both of them get saved. They didn't get saved because of CJ and the grandmother. They got saved because they got under conviction by the power of God. Now, I say all this to say this. The mother, the father, and the son, who used to be chairman of the deacons when I was there, all three of them with their families and the grandchildren are still in church and still serving God. I say they're still blooming. You know, folks, when you get a walking stick, that's all it is. It's good for walking and beating off mean dogs. That's about all a dead stick is good for. And to be honest with you, there's probably a few dead sticks in this church today. We complain about everything. Now, God's going to put a stop to it here in chapter 17. They were murmuring against Moses, and he said, I'll tell you what you do. You take a rod from Aaron, and you take one from each tribe, and you lay it up in the tabernacle of the witness, and then just leave it alone. Can you imagine in your mind? Now, God is the God of miracles. Amen?
Amen.
That dead stick bloomed that night. And that bloom brought forth fruit. Just when you think God can't use you, He will. Here's the thing in our local churches today. We complain because we don't have their position. God is not going to give you more to do if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, where you're at, and doing it. You'll get that too. God wants you to do all your best for the glory of God. That's what the brother was bringing out in Sunday school. And let me get a few of you mad at me. Shame on you if you could have been in Sunday school and wasn't in Sunday school. How in God's name can we teach you if you're not here? Amen.
Amen.
You have to learn the Word of God. I don't care what your age is. You have to continue to learn. By the way, I have read this book for 60 years. And every time I read it, I get something new. Every time somebody teaches, I get something new, if I pay attention. Every time somebody preaches the Word of God, I get something new. Listen, I don't want to die a dead stick. I want to die a blooming stick. I want to bear fruit right up until God calls me home. So here God settles once and for all the authority of the Aaron priesthood. Boy, they were clear. We're the head, we're the ones, it's my job, it's my responsibility. I'm the big nut, I'm the big guy in the crowd, look at me. Somebody told me the other day about their church, said, man, we got cliques. I said, why don't you do something about that? He said, we don't know what to do about it. I said, well, go to the pastor. He said, he's part of the problem. Then you go to the leaders in the church. Listen, the church is not cliques. The church is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church doesn't belong to Pastor Boone. He's been here a multitude of years, but it's not his. He is just simply the mouthpiece, the under-shepherd that God has given to you. Quit complaining about the pastor.
Amen.
You know, you don't complain about the pastor's wife. You know why? She's smack you silly. Pastor Boone is mild mannered, you know, he kind of keeps his cool, doesn't want to say anything. Let me tell you one thing. As a pastor of 40 years, there have been many times I bit my tongue, bit my lip, wanted to tell him exactly what I thought of him, but I didn't, and I thank God I didn't. I kept my mouth shut. I don't like complainers. I don't like to be around people that are always fussing about the Lord's work. And by the way, when you complain against the people of God, you're complaining against God.
Amen.
And you're walking on very thin ice. So he's going to show that the Levi tribe would be the one that leads the nation of Israel. Specifically in verse 1, well not verse 1, but verse 2, their fathers of all the princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 odds, write thou every man's name upon his rod. Write your name upon the rod that you have today, Bob's rod. Julie's rod, Mikey's rod, Pastor Boone's rod. All of us have a rod. Put your name on that rod and then realize this. You're not going to bloom. You're not going to blossom. If you just want to drift through life, you're going to get near that border. And sooner or later, if the Lord tarries, you and I are going to die. Somebody's going to come by and they're going to say the most ridiculous words that people are still living that are going to hear. Boy, doesn't he look natural. You got to die to look natural. I've heard that a few times. Best I ever seen anybody look. Boy, she looks good. Had died to look good. Something's wrong in our society today. When we determine that we know better than what God has given us, whether our Sunday school teachers, our leaders, our pastors, their wives, their children. You know, Daniel Boone's got, how many kids does he have? Two. And both of them are rotten, rotten to the core. I said that about Mike Best's children one Sunday night. I said, you know, Mike and Kathy are two of the finest people I've ever known, but they got three of the ugliest kids I've ever seen. All three of them were sitting in church. Whoops. Of course, they know that I love them, and I used to be able to outrun them. Yeah, in the scripture, the Lord Jesus is the only priest that God accepts. You can go and ask the pastor for prayer, and you should, and he will intercede, and he will pray for you. But, preacher, I don't like teaching Sunday school. Somebody I was telling this morning, maybe yesterday, early this morning, sitting in Clearbrook, talking to the Sunday school teacher before I left. This brother has a gift of teaching. Whether you like it or not, you have that gift. And no matter if you ever quit teaching, God never takes a gift away. You will always be recognized as the adult Sunday school teacher of Valley. Well, I don't like him, and that's why I don't come. God didn't say you had to like him. God said you had to come. You've got to learn to accept what God brings into your life. There are better teachers than this brother, and there's a whole lot worse. I've heard some teachers think, my Lord, if they don't, won't they ever get finished with this boring lesson? They don't say anything about Jesus. They don't say anything about the glory of God. They talk about themselves. Listen, the Word of God says, be able to go to the high priest. Be able to go to him and say, Lord, here's the staff you've given me. My name is on this. God has called Bob Andrews to be a pastor. He's done it for 47 years. This is what God has called me to do. Yes, I gave up pastoring about 15 years ago. Went into evangelistic ministry, filling in for pastors, whatever, wherever I was needed. And I really gave it up when my sweet bride of 50 years died. I just didn't want to go on. In other words, I felt like some of you. I had a real pity party. And God knew it. And God began to deal with my heart. And God began to show me that the people, his people, whatever church they're in, needed him more than I needed Nancy. And it caused me to turn my heart and repent, Lord, I am sorry. Please continue to use me. In 10 days, mark it on your calendar, June the 29th is my birthday. I live at 4078 Buck Mountain Road. I want cards and money from each of you. Have you got that? Make sure you got that all down. And I will be 72 years old. I know I don't look it. Somebody told me this morning I look good. I believe their lie. No problem. But he's the priest we go to. He's the one that we talk to. So let's examine the importance of the ability that God has given you. I use my brother. I hope he doesn't get upset. He has the ability to teach. That ability came from God. God never takes that ability back. He may slow down. He may do something else, but he'll continue to be recognized as a teacher. Stanley, you're a deacon, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
The deacon. Does that mean you're the head honcho deacon? You're the best in the world. He's the only deacon. Okay, now we can really pick on the deacon. God chose him. Daniel Boone might have went to him and asked him to take the office of deacon. And from what I understand from Pastor Boone, he's pretty good.
Amen.
Y'all just lied.
Amen.
You say he's all we got. Boy, when he dies, we're in trouble. You know, some of you men are qualified to be deacons, but you're just too sorry to let your staff bloom.
Amen.
You can do the job, but you don't want the responsibility. You want to go over here and you want to complain. You want to get out after church and say, nah, I don't agree with what he said. Doesn't make any difference whether you agree with me or not. It's what saith the Lord. And so when God puts you in a position, you do that until God tells you to do something else. And by the way, if you're doing something that God really doesn't want you to do, even though it's for God, you are going to be miserable. The story is found in Hebrews 11 in verse 1. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. God told him to build a boat. It had never rained up to that point. God even told him how to build a boat, what size to build a boat, what to put on the boat, put all the food on the boat for the animals and the eight that would be saved. What does the scripture say? In the very beginning of scripture, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So for 120 years, he preached, and his sons and he and his daughters and his wife built a boat. People came by and they complained, this boat's too big, it's in the way. Why in the world are you building a boat? We don't need a boat. There's no rain. There's not enough water to carry it. But he was moved with fear. Interestingly, when we begin to fear what God says, rather than what somebody else says, we will be moved with fear to serve him. You know, the Bible says that God is keeping a record of each of us. Everything we think, everything we say, everything we do is recorded in books in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm under the blood. Amen. But there's going to be some times that I have to answer to God for the foolish things that I've said, for the things that weren't true, for the things that were, we like to call them gray lies, but there's no such thing as a gray lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. Amen. Simple as that. But he was moved with fear and faith. The Word of God says faith gets you to step out. Fear moves you in God's direction. I got to thinking there in early April, what if I die? Which was okay. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know I am. And I was tired. And the best thing that ever happened to me other than Jesus was a woman named Nancy. And God took her. And then God reminded me, you had her over 50 years. Over 50 years. I had to learn to cook again. Haven't burned anything lately. I had to learn to wash clothes because my wife forbid it me 30 years ago from washing them, because when I washed them, she was in the hospital, everything turned pink. Men don't wear pink underwear. I don't care who you are. And when she was going through the dresser drawer and saw all those pink clothes, she said, what have you done? I said, well, I washed the clothes. I didn't know you couldn't wash red with pink with yellow and blue and green and orange. I just throwed it all in, put a little detergent in it, let it rip. Pink. To this day, I will not wear pink. Don't buy me a pink shirt. I will not wear it. And she said, honey, don't ever touch my washing machine again. And I didn't until she passed away. And then they had to write out the directions and put them on the machine so I'd know heavy load, light load, medium load. But today, it's different. You can just throw everything in there, put a little detergent in it, except red. Don't put the red in. And you're good to go. I never feared my wife. I was afraid of her once in a while. Especially when I didn't do as she wished that I would do. James says in 2:17, faith without works is dead. Tell me all day long that you're saved. Tell me all day long that you know Jesus Christ. You may have him here, but some of you, even you that are sitting here, don't have him here. And if you ain't got him here, you're going to bust hell wide open. And by the way, hell is just as real as when God created it for Satan and the angels. Amen. And man has to go there because he refuses the Lamb of God. It took him 120 years to finish what God gave him. Now, it may not take you quite that long to be a deacon, quite that long to be a Sunday school teacher, quite that long to be a pastor or whatever position God has put you in. But you know, most Christians today, they're satisfied to come in, sit down, listen from 11:30 to 12, no longer, and leave. Is that how important your God is to you? That he gets 30 minutes or an hour, maybe even two if you're in Sunday school? That's how important God is to you? The one who created? God is so great, he created every star and he knows every one of them by name, according to the scripture. And there's trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. That's how big God is. So he took his rod, and by faith and by fear, he believed God, and it bloomed. God saved him. God saved his wife, his three sons, his three daughters. They were the ones that restarted creation or man on planet Earth, all because one man took God at his word. Do you know, I think it was D.L. Moody that said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is absolutely, totally surrendered to him. Now, you may not like him. You may not have liked him when he was alive. But one of the greatest men in my lifetime, in my opinion, was Billy Graham. Amen. Multitudes, thousands upon thousands of people. He had a unique voice. He had a unique look. He was so concerned about being trapped when all these preachers were falling for these women that he'd have his security team check his motel room before he went in, just to make sure that nobody was hiding. That was integrity. Billy Graham stood and preached the word of God. By faith, he moved continents for God. Yet he was not the one that was totally sold out to the Lord. Moody, continents for Jesus Christ. Whole continents were moved. Whitfield and others. And you say, well, I'm just a little country boy, country girl living in Buckhannon. What can God do with me? Who knows? If you fully surrender, you'll find out. When you get to the end of your life, which may be today, will you say, I was moved with faith and fear as Noah to do what God said? And then God used Nehemiah to build the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah looked at the walls. And go back and read the story that's been preached to you and taught to you. And he wept. And he mourned. And he fasted. And he prayed. He wept. He mourned. He fasted. He prayed. How many of us weep over the lost people in Buchanan? How many of us weep over the people that used to attend this church, but they don't go anywhere now? Why? They started complaining, and then they quit. Complaining will get you in serious trouble. Somebody say amen. It really will. It'll get you in serious trouble every time you murmur against God. And then they mourn. When is the last time you shed tears over your pastor who was sick or is sick? When's the last time you wept tears over people in this county, in this town, that are lost and without Jesus? And you say, well, I've tried to win them to Jesus. They just won't listen. When you go out, God just wants your mouth. Unless the Spirit of God works in them, they're never going to get saved. And you have to believe that God will work in that individual's life and open their ears and their eyes spiritually so that they can see that they're lost and need to come to you. Then they fasted. When's the last time you went without a meal, which most of you, including me, including that guy at the camera back there, take a look at him. He ain't missing no meals. No. He looks like he's good and healthy. When's the last time we fasted? Just did away with the food and spent time alone with God. I was telling Julie this morning, you know, I sit on the porch yesterday afternoon, watched the grass grow, read my Bible, studied my lessons, just sat there and enjoyed God. Now, I don't like the hot weather we had. I mean, you could wear it on Thursday. You could literally wear the weather on Thursday. And then God said, I think I'm going to bless him and turn the air conditioning on. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he turned it on. Amen. It's nice. And we enjoy it. And then we began to pray. And God's not interested in how long you pray. He's interested in what you say. Is the heart broken? Is it just waiting on God? And the first thing when you go to God and you start to pray, God reminds you that you've been a number one complainer at Valley View. You fussed about, I didn't like that singing that woman sang. Where'd you come up with that song? Somebody said the other day, he said, I'd come to church a little early on Sunday nights, but I can't stand the Sunday school, the choir leader, song leader leading singing. It sounds like you're scratching your fingernails over a blackboard. You know what I'm saying? They complain. They used to complain about me mowing. I mowed 8 acres in Franklin County every week. And as sure as I'm standing here, some old woman come up and say, you didn't get that part right. You didn't get that part right. An old preacher once told me, he said, when they say that, just give them the keys to the lawnmower and say, go to it. You don't like the way I do it? Do it yourself. You don't like the way the church clean? Volunteer to clean it. You don't like the way the pastor is preaching? Stick your fingers in your ears when he's here. You don't have to listen. Most of you don't. I have preached to congregations whose eyes were wide open, but they were sound asleep. Now, I don't mind if you sleep. Just don't bang your head on the floor when you fall over. That's embarrassing to all of us. Somebody needs to listen. What happened? God put a burden on the heart of Nehemiah. What would happen if we followed the pattern that Nehemiah followed? He mourned, he wept, he fasted, he prayed. The Bible says we bloom and we bear fruit. When's the last time you bore any fruit for the Lord? I told you last week and sharing with you, and I'm not ashamed of it, I witnessed to a policeman. She came to the house. I think they do it the same way here. If they die at home, you have to wait till the policeman comes and okays it, that there's no foul play. And she looked at a picture of a rapture that I had on the wall, and she didn't have any idea what it was. Make a long story short, she said, well, I reckon I'll have to go to purgatory before I get to heaven. I said, ma'am, you're going to miss purgatory, you're going to miss heaven, but you're going to gain hell with both hands. Because you are standing there, and I have witnessed to you about God, about the Lord Jesus, and you have rejected him. God's only going to pull your heart so long. Amen. And then what about the man named finally Abraham? He became a blessing to an entire nation. He headed up. Before the Jewish nation was, Abraham was. And get this, he was 75 years old when he left his home. And he went to a place that he'd never been, had no idea. I can't say I know how Abraham feels when they and I left Northern Virginia, church of 450 people, active, doing everything we could do in the church, and all of a sudden we're in a little place called Rocky Mount. Now, it wasn't that big now, and it wasn't that modern. We didn't know anybody, nothing. But we knew that's where God wanted us to go. When people say, my, what a work Bob Andrews did in Rock Mountain. No, God did it all. Amen. And I give glory to God. I didn't do it. I was just there to be used of the Lord. He obeyed. He left all at 75. So if you're past 60, there's hope for you. This man is 75 years old. God placed him in a position where he could be a blessing. And he was a blessing month after year after year. Multitudes of people have come to the Lord. It wasn't perfect. Had a, what we would call today, an illegitimate child by Hagar. And the world is still paying for that mistake between the Arabs and the Jews. But he moved out. He stopped long enough for his daddy to die in Haran, and then he went on to the land of Canaan and how God used him. There's no telling what God will do with you if you'll just be faithful. Bloom where you're planted. Don't murmur where you are. Quit your complaining. Serve the Lord with humility, with all your heart. Does this fellow ever tell you he loves you? I'm looking at you. You better say yes. I don't know how far you live, but it might be a long walk. And sometimes you know what he's saying is true. And sometimes you know he's just saying it to be saying it, or vice versa. Every time I left the house, every time I left the house in 50 years, honey, what time will you be back? I love you. She used those three words more than anybody ever knew. I said, do you know what it means to love me? She said, living with you is one thing. That's love. Putting up with your mistakes, that's love. Letting you wash your clothes and let them turn pink, that's love. Love God. The stick was given to Abraham and he bloomed. And finally, it's the Lamb of God that laid the foundation for our salvation. Most of you are saved. Most of you do know the Lord. Most of you are trying to be faithful to God. He alone is the foundation. The brother read to us in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I said that to somebody Tuesday, and they said, boy, do you have a bigoted God. I said, why is that? Well, the only way I can get to God is through Jesus. I ain't going. I said, you got that right. You ain't going unless you go through Jesus. Join this church, get baptized in this creek back here until every tadpole knows your social security number. But you ain't going. And isn't it sad? Picture behind me on that wall, an open casket. You got it in your mind? An open, we've all seen open casket. Now, picture you in the casket. Got you in the casket. You're laying there, you're looking good. They put the makeup, I mean, just good. And in that casket you lay, and you died without Jesus Christ. The Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Another verse, people think that when you die and they put you in the ground that your soul sleep. No such thing. The body is resting, but the soul's going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
You know how I know that? Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was talking to Moses, and he was talking to Elijah, and they'd been dead for 800 years. But they were there, standing there talking. And if you're in that casket, and you died without Jesus Christ, there is, hey, it's hard to preach a funeral of a lost person.
Amen.
It's difficult. I even was offered money one time to say something good about one of the worst men that ever lived in Franklin County. I said, no, ma'am, that's not the way I work. If you want me to preach, my only qualification is let me preach the gospel. No. I said, then you get somebody else. And they did. I'm not denying the Lord for money. I'm not denying him for nothing. But people that die, that are laying in the casket, and we look at it, we weep over them, we cry over them, we mourn over them. In all their life, they had the stick, but they didn't know the Lord. Nothing ever bloomed. Nothing ever came of their life. You know, live this whole life without Jesus is a wasted life.
Amen.
And to live in hell, forever separated from God, is more than my mind can comprehend. But the Bible says it, and I accept what the Word of God says. Hell's enlarging itself because so many people are going there. Now, there's a lot of you today that are blooming for God. You're not murmuring. You're standing for the Lord. In closing, there was a black lady in our church years ago, a member. I think at the time she was about 87 years old. Every time you see her, she had a big smile. I used to tell her, Myrtle, if you were ever on the battlefield and smile, I don't want to be near you because that smile would light up the darkness. And I asked her one day, I said, Myrtle, don't you ever complain? Yes, I pass it, but only in my closet where God can hear me because God understands. Because if I complain to Danielle and Danielle complains to Stanley and on around it goes, it starts infecting people. But if I tell you how good God has been, every time I meet with you, God is good all the time. God really is good all the time.
Amen.
He's even good when you die and God says, depart from me, I never knew you. He's good when you're turned into hell because you've rejected the greatest gift ever offered, and that was Jesus Christ. Long ago, he died on Calvary. Nobody wants to bring it out. We try to be humble about it, but I did a little study on the Roman crucifixion and what they did to the prisoners that they nailed to the cross. And every time they nailed a prisoner to the cross, they nailed him naked. Jesus died naked. before the whole world. He died for your sins so that you could have eternal life, so I could have eternal life. I want to bloom. I don't want to be a dead stick. I want to bear fruit for God. And God has showed me through the homegoing of my wife, which he showed me a lot, I ain't done with it yet. And he took me to Job 14. There's a boundary, Bob, but you ain't there yet. But you may be close. What about you? Are you blooming where you plant? Or are you complaining and murmuring? Let's pray. God, forgive us. As the Hebrew children long ago murmured against Moses, God's servant. Be careful when you murmur against the pastor. Be very careful, for God is listening. And God may say enough. Be careful when you murmur against your Sunday school teachers, your deacons, your leaders. You're murmuring against God, and God may say enough. Are you blooming where you have been put? Are you visually trying to get people into this church under the sound of the gospel? Are you agonizing over people that are dying every day in your presence without Jesus? Are you fasting and seeking the face of God? God, help Valley View to be what Valley View should be, that God wants them to be. Be faithful. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for this church. I am grateful, Lord, for Pastor Boone. I'd like to thank, Lord, that I wasn't called here because of friendship with him, but because, Lord, you laid me on his heart. And it's always a joy, Lord, to come, whether it's an easy sermon or a difficult sermon, they seem to pay attention. I pray, God, this will sink deep in their heart. If they're complainers, may they confess it and stop. If they're not blooming, God, help them to realize what they have to do to move forth in faith and fear, to bloom and produce fruit, even now in their life. Raise up leaders, Lord, that we can have. Have your way in the invitation, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.